In April, elite international contenders clash with Australia's best to decide the championships.
It's a done deal by a length and a half. Sacred Falls wearing him down. It's a done deal. Three-quarter Sacred Falls. It's a done deal from the Queen Elizabeth.
Join Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing from Royal Randwick, April 4 and 11 for the championships. The grand finals of Australian racing.
Be there when the finest thoroughbreds battle it out this April for the championships, the grand finals of Australian racing. Celebrate two sensational Saturdays of racing, socialising and dining, April 4 and 11. The championships at Royal Randwick is when Sydney comes out to play during Australia's richest race days. From the Clinique Pampa Lounge, Shandong pop-up bars to the world-class gourmet food precinct of Little Sydney. Book now and receive 25% off general admission at theraces.com.au.
Starter has the button, stalls are back and racing. Fields sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. The very latest in racing and sport from around the country. Welcome to Tab Talk.
Hello, very good morning to you. I'm Jason Witham. Nice to be with you on this Tuesday morning. It's 10:04. We will get on to the Doncaster Mile as soon as that field is released. And we'll, as Andrew said, have a representative to talk about the Doncaster field. But there's plenty to talk about in the interim in the world of NRL. Trent Langscale from Tab is with us to discuss same. Good morning to you, Trent.
Good morning to you, Jason.
And Matt Russell from Fox Sports also with us. Good morning, Matt.
G'day, Jason. G'day, Trent. It's all about one man this morning, isn't it? Jonathan Thurston, absolutely brilliant last night as the Cowboys celebrated their first win.
Yeah, Matt, it was a get-out-of-jail like you wouldn't believe, wasn't it? They were gone, buried, and absolutely dusted with about, 6 minutes to go with a 7-point lead there to the Storm, but JT at his absolute best. And he needed to be, because if they'd gone 4-0, you'd reckon they'd have just about been done for the season, especially with a couple of tough games to come.
I wonder if later on in the year we'll look back at round four and say that was the turning point in the Cowboys' season. Because you were right, they had no right to win. Down 16-4 after 62 minutes. They were down by 7 with only a couple to go. So Jonathan Thurston nailed one conversion from the sideline, then another conversion from the sideline, then a pressure field goal to make it 17-all, and then the field goal in Golden Point to make it 18-17. He was irresistible. I love the way Warren Smith called it. He just said, it is all JT, and it was.
And looking at the match last night, Matt, we talked about the odds that happened before the match where the Cowboys, they were well supported coming into last night. They were as much as $15 when they trailed 17 points to 10. So the Storm were $1.02. So that's before JT weaved his magic. And as you touched on, he even had in the post-match interview with Andy Raymond on Fox Sports that feels that that could be the win that gets the monkey off the Cowboys' back.
Yeah, well, they spoke about being under pressure, about losing confidence. There's nothing like a big comeback win against the odds to turn that around. I think that you could see in Coach Green's interview after the game as well that he was just so relieved. He knows what a big result that was. And to come back the way they did, I am backing them to go on and have a few wins in a row now.
Yeah, you could just tell that their forwards really started to put the foot down in the second half, didn't they, Matt? It was a much better performance. Blokes like Tomalolo, they were really running over the top of the Storm as the match progressed.
Well, JT might have been man of the match, but surely Jason Taumalolo was only a shadow behind him. His runs, especially in the second half as the Cowboys started to get a roll on, was absolutely fantastic. He's long been a forward who's been highly regarded, but they've nursed him through his career so far, and really it was 2014 that was his breakout season, played the bulk of the year, and he's set to build on that in 2015. I'd like to know how he's going to finish the year. I wouldn't mind betting he'll pick up a Dally M Positional Award at the end of the year.
Okay, Matt, we'll just pause for a moment because Andrew Bensley, he's been on all morning talking about the Doncaster Mile, the dramas with what will be the final field, and yep, he's just about to announce what's happened. So what is the news, Bensley?
Well, my understanding is that the Australian Turf Club have not used their powers. They have decided not to use them. Suavito will be inside the final 20. The first emergency will be Swayness, and the second emergency, Kermadec. The final field is being determine now, guys, after you have a chat with Matt, hopefully a member of the Australian Turf Club will join us to take us through it. But just important news for our racing audience, Suavito will make the field, Swayness will be first emergency, and Kermadec second emergency. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thanks very much, Andrew. We look forward to hearing more in the second half of Tab Talk this morning. So, yeah, Swayness and especially Kermadec missing out there at this stage, but we may hear more. All right, Matt, well, I'll tell you what, the Storm weren't the only ones to get out of jail or to lose the game, I suppose, if you look at it on the other side. The Tigers, they had a huge lead as well and threw it away against the Dogs.
Yeah, 26-4 they were up. They were seemingly going to spring a big upset, but back came Desi's Dogs. I love seeing Josh Morris score that try in the second half, and as he did so, you might have seen him pretend to rip the monkey off his back and boot it into the crowd. That's because it had been so long between drinks, between tries for Josh Morris, so he was delighted to get over. And young Moses Ambai, ice cool, kicking that long-range field goal to win it in Golden Point. Gee, they have some depth, and all of a sudden, Des Hasler has to work out how he's going to bring Josh Reynolds back into the lineup. Expect to see him maybe used a little bit at hooker in coming weeks after he comes back from that broken arm. So plenty to like about the Dogs and that comeback victory. And I've been speaking with Stephen Roach before our regular segment we do in here at Fox Sports, and he's willing to forgive the Tigers. He says you've got to be patient with them. They're young halves. They're a young team. It's going to take some time for them to learn how to close out games and handle those sort of situations. So if a Tigers great is willing to forgive and forget, well, so should the rest of us perhaps.
Yeah, they were very competitive, weren't they, against Souths the week before. And whilst we're talking about Souths, it took a very committed Eels side, didn't it, on Friday night. Gee, they go well at home, don't they?
Who saw this one coming? A big upset to start the round. Chrissy Sander, he was magnificent. By his own admission, he was missing a week earlier when they were beaten by the Warriors in New Zealand. He lost a loved one, a family member, during the week, and he was off the boil, but he dedicated that win to her. And, gee, he is a halfback who I love watching. His chip and chase game is fantastic. He's such a live wire, and he does have the capability of lifting Parramatta single-handedly. In the past, they relied on Jared Hayne, but thankfully for Eels fans, there's a bit more in the tank now, and Chrissy Sandow is just one of those key elements.
Now, we talked about this last week, Matt, that as soon as we put up a type of market on when a team would lose their next game or something like that, that invariably happens, and Munns is still upset after the Rabbitohs lost on Friday night, and it leaves Newcastle as the last team standing. You would have got long odds about that happening 4 rounds into this NRL season.
You think about it. How many people would you have had to ask to find someone who said, I reckon Newcastle will stand alone, unbeaten, on top of the table after 4 rounds? I reckon you'd go into the thousands. No one could possibly have picked that. And they were very good again against Penrith. The Panthers started horribly. And in their high-vis game, wearing their mining outfits, the Newcastle Knights rolled up their sleeves, dug in, got the job done again. Well done, Rick Stone. Well done, the likes of Bo Scott and Jeremy Smith, who are very, very good. They've made an art of attacking the opposition playmakers, the likes of Thurston and Wallace, and putting them off their game. They did it again, and they set up this Saturday's game. It's a big day at Randwick. Well, it'll be a big day at Hunter Stadium as well, because it's the Alex MacKinnon Cup. Newcastle against St George Illawarra, the two NRL clubs that Alex MacKinnon played for. And the Dragons have gone 2 in a row. Now, Newcastle 4 in a row, don't they set up Easter Saturday night on Fox Sports?
Should be a beauty, shouldn't it? Where does it leave the Panthers, though, do you think? I don't know, they've got a couple of injuries with the likes of Saud and Seguiaro out, but many expecting them to be some of the high flyers this season. They've been just a little bit off the boil so far.
Yeah, 2 wins, 2 losses. I wouldn't panic too much. You're right. No Seguiaro, when he comes back in, he certainly adds an element to the Panthers. I love their coach in Ivan Cleary. He's the right man for the job. And I still have Penrith in or around the top four, and I expect them to be a real force later on in the season. They were just beaten by their slow start. What about their record off Monday night games under Ivan Cleary? They are none from 10. They'd be quite happy never to play another Monday night game in history. But at the moment, it's a real hoodoo for them. And that was a very short turnaround, basically 4.5 days. And as a result, I think that explains their terrible start.
The only problem with that timing there, Matt, is that they will be playing on Monday night against North Queensland at Pepper Stadium, so they won't be thrilled about that either.
No, they get a bit longer preparation for their Round 5 game. But as I said earlier in the call, I'm tending towards backing North Queensland for a while now. I just wonder whether that win might put them on a bit of a roll. They still have ground to make up. So very early days, I know, but I'd be leaning towards the Cowboys at Pepper Stadium on Monday night.
And Matt, the other big news, I suppose, coming out of the weekend was Blake Ferguson's injury and long-term injury at that. Bad news for him and also for the club.
Yeah, only a couple of games into his comeback. It's a bitter blow for Blake because he's hell-bent on turning his life around, forced to spend time out of the game for off-field issues, and his return had been simply sensational. A couple of tries, he scored again on Sunday. And when it comes to the Roosters, I'm trying to remember a slicker backline performance than the one I called on Sunday. Six of the seven backline members scored, and the only bloke who didn't, Mitchell Pearce, came up with four try assists and had a hand in the other two as well. So it was the complete performance from the backline. The forward pack is very good as well, and it prompted Ricky Stewart to say afterwards that we were beaten by a better team. Our job as opposition teams is to try and come up with a roster like that. How do we get a team as good as that on the park? And that's the million-dollar question. How do they do it?
Well, looking at round five, Matt, it begins with an absolute ripper on Good Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock at ANZ Stadium. You've got the grand final rematch where Canterbury, they're $2.40 outsiders and South at $1.60. So that is a ripping start to round five in the NRL.
Yeah, I'd be leaning towards South Sydney. We've seen over the first few rounds, if you ignore their round four defeat against the Parramatta Eels, just how good they can be on their day. Greg Inglis fit and firing. I made a rule, I promised to myself after going against them in round one, that as a general guide, I'm going to side with South Sydney in 2015. And even though it's a grand final rematch, I reckon they might be too good for the Dogs.
Another side that got out of jail, I guess you'd say, was the Titans up against the Sharkies there the other day. What are the prices on that one, Trent?
Jason, that Friday night match, Gold Coast $2.60 and Brisbane $1.50. So the Broncos, they're also looking improved as well, Matt. That poor first round match against South seems a distant memory after what's happened in the last 3 weeks, especially what happened across the Tasman on Sunday.
Yeah, they got out of jail, but gee, they gave their supporters a scare, didn't they? The Warriors could easily have won that if they didn't bomb so many tries. And don't discount the Titans completely, because they've lost one game by a point, another game by 2 points. On the weekend, they won a close game, so they're not without a hope in this Queensland derby. They'll be keen to beat their big brothers up the road. I agree with those prices, but gee, the Titans, not without some sort of hope, surely.
I wonder if the Seagulls might miss the finals for the first time in, you know, a decade perhaps. They've certainly haven't started the season very well, Matt.
They've dominated the last decade, haven't they? But they're up against it this season. Jeff Toovey has to pull some tricks out of his bag because they've got form problems, but they've also got injury problems. Brenton Lawrence having back surgery, and who knows when he'll be back. There are some other niggles across the team, and they'll be down on troops as they head to Albury this weekend to play the Raiders. Both those teams, 1 and 3, to start the season, and I don't know who you're picking that one, really. Both sides were pretty ordinary over the weekend. One team will win it, I just don't know who.
What's the tab betting?
They're betting $1.53, Jason, and Canberra $2.50. So Manly are the favourites for that match at the Lavington Sports Ground, a 5:30 start there on Saturday in Albury. And then for the inaugural Alex MacKinnon Cup, Matt, you've got Newcastle $1.43 and St George Illawarra $2.85. So that's Saturday night there at Hunter Stadium.
Be another big crowd. They had 20,000 plus there for a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. So given it's Easter Saturday night, their home team having won 4 in a row, it will be a bumper crowd against their old arch rivals. It used to be the Steel City Challenge. Of course, the steel element has dipped off in both centres, but the Alex MacKinnon Cup will breathe great life into this contest again. It will be a bumper Saturday night.
You think the Roosters will be too good for the Sharks, even with the Blake Ferguson injury?
Yes, easily, from what the Sharks are showing us so far. The only team yet to have a win, aren't they disappointing? Because plenty of good judges had them in the top eight, but they are a distant hope now, surely, after dropping their first four games. I don't know how they turn it around, especially against the Roosters. The Roosters scored 6 stunning tries. They're back at home. They're in form. They've got a roll on. Yes, they've lost Blake Ferguson. Jared Warrior-Hargreaves is in doubt with a calf strain. But even with those two players out possibly, they should be far too good if the first month of the competition is a guide.
Can't take a trick, the Sharks, can they? What's the betting on this one? Pretty short, the Roosters. They'd be, what, $1.20?
$1.15, Jason. Not that generous. So $1.15 for the Roosters and Cronulla $5.50 for Sunday's lone game, the 4 o'clock start there at Allianz Stadium. And then, Matt, a triple header on Fox Sports on Monday from 3 o'clock. Parramatta $1.75 and West Tigers $2.10 at ANZ Stadium. Straight after that, 5 o'clock at Amy Park, Melbourne $1.36 and the Warriors $3.15. And then Monday night at Pepper Stadium, Penrith $1.50 and North Queensland $2.60. So perhaps the Cowboys a bit of value now that they've got that, they've broken the maiden for this season.
Yeah, as I said, I'm quite happy to be on the Cowboys for the next couple of weeks. I'm calling the game in Melbourne Storm against the Warriors, and that's a quality game because the Storm will be keen to bounce back. The Warriors have shown at times with this brilliant young side they can play fantastic footy as well. That game used to be the Anzac Day game and always attracts a big crowd to Amy Park, so there'll be a good atmosphere there for two teams who really need a win, the Storm and the Warriors, off a loss. It's at Amy Park.
Yeah, promises to be another big weekend of footy. Matt, many thanks. Good to talk to you again. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to a fantastic weekend from Randwick to across the NRL. What a weekend we have ahead. Enjoy your Easter, boys.
Indeed. Thanks very much, Matt Russell there from Fox Sports. And Trent, plenty of other sports to bet on this weekend coming up as well and even over the next few days. What have you got for us?
There is, Jason. Well, we'll have a quick look at the AFL. It begins on Thursday night at the MCG. You've got Carlton $2.60 against Richmond at $1.50. No AFL on Good Friday, so you go straight to Saturday at the MCG. We're back there for Melbourne $2.75 against Gold Coast. $1.45 at ANZ Stadium, a $4.35 start. Sydney $1.10 against Essendon at $7. Then Saturday night you've got a couple of matches. The Brisbane Lions $1.62 and Collingwood $2.30. That's at the Gabba. While at Etihad Stadium, the Western Bulldogs are $2.75 outsiders against West Coast at $1.45. On Sunday there's three games. The 1:10 start at Etihad Stadium. St Kilda $3.15 outsiders and Greater Western Sydney $1.36. And Jason, when this match opened about a month ago, just shows how the pre-season's been for both teams. St Kilda were $2.15 and Greater Western Sydney $1.70. So punters believe the Saints are going to have a really poor year and the Giants could really spring a good start to their season with a win there against St Kilda. The afternoon match at the Adelaide Oval, Adelaide $1.68 against North Melbourne $2.20. And then Sunday night, it's a 6:40 start our time over at Domain Stadium. It's been known as Patterson Stadium for the last few years, the ground there at Subiaco. Fremantle $1.78 and Port Adelaide $2.05. And then Monday at the MCG, Hawthorn, the defending premiers, well, last 2 years, $1.40 against Geelong at $3. So, as Matt touched on, it's going to be a big weekend with the NRL already, the fifth round of the season. It seems to be flying, but the AFL, they've had to put their season back with the Cricket World Cup, obviously. Couldn't use the MCG, the Gabba, the SCG and a couple of other grounds. So they've had to wait for a little bit longer, but round one will get underway on Thursday night.
Yeah, not before time either. We're plenty looking forward to the start of the AFL season. Trent, might have a look at the Doncaster market too if you've got that handy. We've got Nigel Blackiston on the line about to join us. Suavito has got into the race and this mare looks one of the real leading chances in this very strong Doncaster mile on Saturday as we kick off the championships. A very good morning to you, Nigel.
Good morning to you.
Tremendous training achievement to get Suavito to this race. She's been in fantastic form, this mare, and you must rate yourself a pretty good chance on Saturday.
Well, that's just, I believe it's the toughest mile race in Australia, so all I can say is I'm going there with a mare that's in great form, and she's as tough as old boots, and she'll acquit herself well, hopefully.
How's she gone since the futurity?
Done very well. She came out and won the Blaine Stakes nicely, and you know she went to the front, which was a different sort of style, sort of normal racing pattern. And she held on strongly that day, and just shows she's a bit more versatile and an extra string to her bow.
She gets in beautifully at the weights.
She does. I mean, from the start of the autumn, the plan was try and get the Doncaster with the weight, and where she was sitting early doors, I thought we were going to struggle. But having spoke to the handicapper last week. And Colin Tutt, they were quite confident they should make the field, and hence we didn't run the Sunline last Friday.
And you've got a pretty good jockey on board too.
Got a very good jockey, by the name of Corey Brown. He certainly knows his way around Randwick and in a big stage in the city, so I'm very pleased to have him on board.
Has he been on the mare before?
No, he has not, no.
Okay. So she heads into this after four straight group wins. and races okay on the fresh side.
She does. She's one of those mares. Once she hits form, she can maintain it for a long time. And you know, we space her race nicely. And she's okay on the wet. I mean, I prefer a nice, you know, dead to good track rather than a heavy track. But I took her to the Vinery Stakes last year, and in a heavy track, she made really good ground that day, so it shouldn't pose too much of a problem.
What about her record on wet going? She hasn't performed too badly, but probably wouldn't want it too wet.
No, she would not. As I said, I mean, she'd be better off in that dead to good style of track. But say she has performed on the heavy track quite well before.
Pretty adaptable sort of mare too. She can she can find a place in the field, but she's got a good finish on her.
She's got a great finish, and that's the beauty about her. I mean, she's got this amazing will. I mean, she's not a big, robust filly or mare now, and she's just amazing what she can do.
Form out of the George Ryder probably looks the strongest. Who do you see as the hardest to beat in the race, Nigel?
I just went to see the barriers, obviously, and see how where we all sit. But, you know, there's 20 runners, and there's 19 chances.
Indeed, indeed. Well, best of luck on Saturday. She certainly looks a leading chance. Trent, what price is she?
At the moment, Jason, we're still suspended, obviously, the delay in announcing the final field. But Suave Vito, before the all-in market was suspended overnight, was a $15 chance. So our bookies gave Suave Vito a fair chance of winning the Doncaster Mile as well, Nigel. So you would be pretty happy. And that gamble by not running in the Sunline Stakes has paid off getting that spot.
It's nice to get right occasionally.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck on Saturday once again, Nigel, with Suavito. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. Thank you.
Nigel Blackerson there with Suavito. And Trent, that market, will be out, I guess, in the next little while. A barrier draw due to get underway in about an hour.
That's right, Jason. Last week when we had the announcement, well, the 2 weeks ago with the Golden Slipper, we had the field open for a little while, and then once the barrier draw did take place, we suspended the market, and as it was happening, we updated the prices. So that would probably be the case. It was at now 10:23, so you're looking at the market at the moment. I will say that Hallowed Crown and Kermit Eck were the equal favourites last night before the market was suspended. Pornochet, who Nick Quinn touched on yesterday, was $26 before winning the Neville Selwood Stakes on Saturday. Got in the 15 on Saturday night and has continued to firm at $8. So Gay Waterhouse has already trained seven winners in the Doncaster Mile. And from the bookies' point of view, it looks as though Pornochet will provide her with her best chance of winning it for the eighth time.
And yeah. Jason, I'll drop in here in the studio as well, that Colin Tuck, the racing manager from the Australian Turf Club, is about to join us in a couple of minutes with that Doncaster Mile field. It's been done, the field, and I know that you will be broadcasting later on, Jace, the all-important barrier draw that's been done at Randwick this morning, somewhere between 11:30 and 12:30. So Colin is actually online, the racing manager for the Australian Turf Club, on Tab Talk this morning. Morning, Cole.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. Jason and Trent are here on this jam-packed show. Can you first elaborate on what happened within the board meeting and that final field?
Look, the board considered the final acceptances, and after due consideration, came to the conclusion that the best outcome was to stick with the field the way that the balloting conditions were advertised. So there were no changes made to that final acceptance field, and in this case, Wayness and Kermit Eck become first and second reserves.
Okay, well, take us through, if you can. As I say, the barrier draw is being done later, but I know a lot of racing participants listening to Sky Sports Radio would love to know the 20 that are in the field.
Yes, certainly. The field in tab order is Sacred Falls, Happy Trails, World Ace, Real Impact, Moriarty, Royal Descent, Ninth Legion, Puccini, Cosmic Endeavour, Hallowed Crown, Hooked, It's Somewhat, Diamond Drill, Pornochet, Destiny's Kiss, Arabian Gold, La Baz, Rudy, Suavito, Plucky Bell, and then the four emergencies in order are Swayness, Kermadec, Aomen, and Malavio.
Malavio, the fourth emergency. All right, so the extra there that they'd been weighing up was Chris Waller's horse, Moriarty, and he decided right on the death at 9 o'clock that I'm Imposing wouldn't be an acceptor in the race.
Yes, that's the case.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, Colin. Are you flat out there with the barrier draw coming up? Really appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thanks.
And, Andrew, no problem with Arabian Gold?
No. What's the story with Arabian Gold after that story that we updated yesterday afternoon? It's got a corn. Now, the race plate was taken off. Certainly, it's a 50-50. It's improved to a 50-50 at the moment. Arabian Gold will have that race plate put back on that heel later today, and we'll have a workout tomorrow morning. So, isn't over the line, but it's a lot brighter than where they were yesterday at this time, Jase.
And no word on any horses that might be likely to come out of the field to allow Swain Ezekumadak to get a run?
Well, I guess it's one Arabian Gold. Of the others, at this stage, I would say no. Who knows what happens between now and Saturday, but as it stands right now, the only one that I know that needs a call tomorrow with the gallop is Arabian Gold. Look, it'll be interesting. There'll be mixed views on this one, whether they've made the right decision or not. I think most people would probably say, well, the stables of Kermadec and Swainess have known the balloting conditions and they haven't quite made it. So, would have been interesting either way, but that's the 20 at this stage plus the four emergencies.
I guess the discretionary powers are there to allow, you know, one of the leading chances to get into the race, and
yep.
I think, you know, as just Trent would attest to, that Kermadec would certainly have been in the top five in betting, if not higher.
What price was he? He was third pick or something, wasn't he?
Kermadec was an equal favourite at $6 with Hallowed Crown before the race was suspended overnight, pending the fact that it's been from all into final field.
And Swainess was up there too?
$11 for Swainess. So from a punting point of view, it probably would be better if those two horses were definitely in the field, Jason and Andrew, but you can understand that connections, as you mentioned as well, Ben, that they've known what the conditions are, and we see this all the time for feature races when it gets towards the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups, and Doncaster Mile would be similar to that, that there would be people saying, well, you knew what the rules were to get into the field. You haven't met them, so why should a couple of horses that have met those conditions be demoted from the official field and not be an emergency?
It's fair enough, I suppose, but again, then you've got to ask the question, if they're going to have a discretionary power and you don't use it when the favourites in the race can't get in, then when do you use it?
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, we've had much discussion down in Melbourne in the last few years with this sort of thing, and now it's hit the Doncaster Mile. As I say, Godolphin have got it somewhat in the field, committed to running, I guess, unless they make a late change. But certainly talking with John O'Shea this morning, they were committed with both running. But it somewhat is in the field. And Chris Waller, as we know, has got Moriarty and... what else has he got there? He's got something else there along the way. But he's got a couple there that he's accepted for. So is it a case that you pay, you know, do you scratch one of those late? Anyway, there's a lot to unfold. But as it stands right now, Swainess sits outside and Kermadec second emergency. So a bit to play out.
There could well be more drama in the coming days. Okay, thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Trent.
I'm amazed. I've been on Tab Talk for the first time with Jason. How about that?
As a host.
I've pushed me way in.
That's right, you have. You've shoved Trent off the chair there.
No, we're right. We're okay.
Understandable, Jason, that Doncaster Mile, one of the premier events in Australian thoroughbred racing, so good to announce what the field was and the situation there with both Swainess and Kermadec. First and second emergencies.
And there's going to be mixed views from everybody that you talk to. Destiny's Kiss and the other one that they looked at was Labaz. They've decided, obviously, to go with them. Yeah. Destiny's Kiss is a Stayers Cup winner, winning 2 mile at Rose Hill in July. Has that been enough? Well, it is at this stage for him to get a start in a 1,600-metre race. So whoever you talk to, you're going to get different views. We'll cover it again tomorrow.
All right, Andrew, many thanks, and also thanks again to you, Trent.
Thanks, Jason.
All the best. That's it for Tab Talk for this Tuesday morning. Coming up next, it's John Tapp with On the Pace.
Dynamic Syndications, in alliance with Gay Waterhouse, have available a spectacular filly bred on the same cross as Gay's Golden Slipper winner, Vancouver. by Medagliadoro. Sire of 67 stakes winners, including Golden Slipper Hero Vancouver. From Trick of Light, a Group 2 winner of 6 races, whilst her extended pedigree includes 36 Group 1 winners. Join our dynamic Gay Waterhouse team in ownership of this special filly. For info, visit our website or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Tony McAvoy and Top Line Thoroughbreds are proud to offer shares in a stunning Fox Wedge Colt.
The three-year-old Fox Wedge Pete Hayless.
This Fox Wedge Colt is from a proven mare, an established family of serious winners. The Colt is bred for success at the highest level. Join the McAvoy and Top Line team and get your share of this Bob's Qualified Magic Millions graduate now. Visit toplinethoroughbreds.com.au. Email info@toplinethoroughbreds.com.au for more information.
AFSL 443796.
Dad had a stroke 6 months ago. I knew it would affect him physically, but I never thought he would have problems with his vision too. When he came home, he was having